this next phase that we are entering into, you know, is we got to press in and get into that promised land. We've danced around in this wilderness for 40 years. That's long enough. Hallelujah. Now it's time for us to move in and enter into that thing that we've been waiting for forever. You know, we're not going to die in this wilderness. Oh, no. And the Lord is calling for a people. Hallelujah. You know, it's something about God, the way he walks. You know, just make sure we understand that. First, you know, everything starts with God. Everything that God does, it starts with an unction from God. If there is no unction from the Lord, nothing happens. But when there is an unction from the Lord, everything moves. When the Lord looked and said, it is time, then that means that's an unction from him. You know, and yes, you know, people may be doing things before the time and, you know, trickles and showers. I mean, trickles of rain may come here and there and so forth. But the deluge comes when the Lord says, it is time. Now, when he says it is time, two things must happen. Hallelujah. As soon as the Lord says it is time, then the Holy Spirit begins to move upon the hearts of the people and begin to draw them to repentance and to prayer. And people think they're doing it, you know, but no, it's the Lord. You know, the Lord is the one, you know, that's pulling us in. Hallelujah. Closer into the web of destiny. That's what he's doing. Pulling us in, pulling us in. And then when people say, you know, we got to pray, and they begin to seek the Lord. Well, that's a great thing. You know, begin to confess and begin to seek the Lord, begin to return, to the Lord and begin to, you know, get their life together and so forth. And then, you know, but then the Lord waits. See, that's the second thing that happens. The Lord waits a bit after that to see if they will follow through. That's right. You know, because they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Well, the called and the chosen has happened, you know, but the faithful part, that's on us. So God's going to wait and see, you know, how long they will stick it out and hang right in there, or if they will organize the thing, turn it into man's systems, and the thing will die out. That's what's happened in every revival. You know, God starts something, and Paul said, shall we start something in the spirit and then try to conclude it in the flesh? Oh, well, that's the thing with the people. That's a human nature. Anytime God starts something, great. You know, so after a while, people make something out of it that has nothing to do with God, you know. And when God gives his great sign, eventually people will build some kind of ism and some kind of idolatry around that thing. God gave them the sign in the Bible. Go, you know, the crooked serpent and so forth. Eventually they began to make something out of that. Well, everything that God has sent, you know, when people are not careful, they make evil out of it, the Lord will just close the thing down. You know, he said, look, you know, I will bring evil against this place, even as I did to my house at Shiloh. Shiloh was the place where the glory of the Lord was, but at the end, it was Ichabod. The glory of the Lord had departed. Because the people would not stay with the true word of God, you know. So, you know, these last 7 days, it's been a time of consecration. Glory to God. And that, what I just said was just you might call it an intro, but let's get into it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise your holy name. Glory to God. Every time we get together, we know when you send your word, scripture says, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be in Jesus' name. Welcome again, everyone. I thank you for being here. Thanks to those of you that joined us over the last 7 days. But, you know, the journey has not ended. The journey has only begun. You know, all of that was just a for us to prepare. See, because this flesh hates God. That's right. And God hates the flesh. The two of them are loggerhead, contrary to one another all the time. The spirit is going one way. The flesh is going a different way. The spirit says, put that flesh on the altar of sacrifice. Burn it with fire. That's the only thing that it's good for. It's got to be on the fire. You know, that flesh to be on fire. Yeah, that's where he needs it. You know, and what God is doing right now, you know, is calling his people to order and attention. You know, and it's not exactly everybody, you know. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus himself started out with just, you know, a handful of people. But, you know, he had a mission to handle of people, but he had strategy. Praise God. So it's a handful of people, but there is strategy. And Paul described that strategy as well to Timothy. He said, look, the things which I've taught you, you know, be careful to find faithful people that you hand them to, who will in turn do the same, and so on and so forth. You know, so that strategy of how, that's how we invite you to share the room. You know, when you, if you are being blessed, you know, don't share the room if you are not being blessed. And you shouldn't actually be here if you are not being blessed. But, you know, if you are being blessed, you know that it's the pure word of God, then share the room. Let others come in. Let's spread the word. But lo and behold, we are reminded that they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship from house to house and in breaking of bread and so on. Well, we're not house to house. We're right here on this platform. And we can't, you know, break the bread physically, but we're breaking the bread spiritually. And God has given us this platform to continue in daily fellowship. Isn't that amazing? You know, I never thought it could be. I mean, even on the, our local church on the ground here, you know, we can't even have fellowship every day. Sometimes even tell people to come to fellowship once a week, they still drag their feet, let alone, you know, every day. But look at what God is doing, you know. And so this one is not about church. It's about the body of Christ, and it's about the kingdom. Hallelujah. And it's about us getting out of this rut and getting out of this wilderness, you know, and getting going to that promised land. Lord said, look, you dwelt in this mountain long enough. You dwelt in this wilderness long enough. Enough already. Glory to God. Move forward. Well, unfortunately, those to whom the word initially came, they could not move forward, you know, because they couldn't endure the word of God, you know. And they would not believe God. They did not sanctify God. In fact, they said, we can't do it. God said, go forward. They said, no, we can't. You know, we are like grasshoppers. The land will swallow us up and so on and so forth. And God said, indeed, well, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. So ladies and gentlemen, we are no grasshoppers. We are Joel's army. Hallelujah. We climb through walls. We leap. Climb through windows, leap over walls, you know, break a bow of steel with our hands, run through troops, do all these things. You know, David had some, you know, they call them David's mighty man. To read their stories. You hang around and off around a mighty man, you begin to do the same thing. I mean, one of them go down there and, you know, deal with 800 people. Another there will go around, you know, deal with a lion. You know, I mean, David did these things, you know. So we have a mighty group that God is gathering. I hear the sound of an army arising. Glory to God. And that army, they need to be prepped. We're in training ground right now. We're getting prepped. And all that consecration and convocation and fasting and praying, getting ourselves in order, that's just a prep walk. Now the real walk is starting. Glory to God. You know, so don't rest on your oars or think that we've done any great thing. We've done nothing. Praise the Lord. I've done nothing. We're just getting ready. You know, one time Elijah was to go on a great journey and the Lord said, you're going 40 days journey. So here, you know, the Lord gave him some room service twice, you know, strengthen him, but he had to go on that journey. Well, we've been on, you know, men and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I've been on this journey for a long time. 40 years or more, actually. It's been more than 40 years. I mean, 40 years backward from today, that put us in 1983. But I know I've been on this journey of the end time, you know, message before 1983. And we've been talking the great things that the Lord will do and the power and anointing that's coming upon the people of God to sweep us and, you know, give a witness to this world, sweep us to heaven. It started out great. But then people began to add so many things, see? And when you start to add things, scripture says, add not to his words. You know, you begin to add things, and pretty soon people forget, you know, that it's the Lord that's doing these things. See, when great things happen, people just forget. Sometimes enough things happen, you have enough, you know, tremendous power, you know. And we were walking in power. I mean, there was great stuff, you know. And then people start to think that it's actually them doing it, you know. And the moment you start to do that, you've missed the mark. You know, we've never done anything, you know. In fact, we've never accomplished anything at all. You know, everything that we ever did was by the grace of God. So, like, nobody, and greater things are coming. See, how many of you are right here now that saw this house in its former glory, the Lord asked? And you say, well, but how do you see it as of now in your eyes? What does it look like? I mean, does it even look like anything at all that you saw before? I mean, as people, I have some friends here, you know, that we were, you know, around in the day and they, you know, they know what I'm talking about. I mean, we saw some tremendous power of God, you know. But, I mean, how do you see it, you know, this house right now? I mean, is it anything like what you used to, you know, experience? Well, here is the word of the Lord that we have for such people. You know, the prophet Haggai was somebody who also, in his mind, you know, the way the Lord reveals things to these prophets, you know, it's because, you know, they are thinking something. It's either like Daniel, he was thinking something, wanting something, and then God will come to him. You know, this Haggai man, he was thinking something, wondering about things and so forth, you know. And, you know, the people wondered and they said, well, you know, this house, what does it look like now? And the Lord said, look, this house that you see right now, I am going to make the glory of this latter house greater than that of the former. And in this place, saith the Lord, will I give peace. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9. You know, people say, well, you know, I mean, we've seen all great things. In fact, Gideon said the same thing. You know, when the angel came to him, said, oh, you know, I mean, he says, hail thou mighty man of God, and so forth. And he said, mighty man of God, don't call me that, and he said, the Lord be with you, and so forth. He said, the Lord be with me. If the Lord be with us, where are all those miracles? You know, why are we hiding from the Midianites? This was a man that was not satisfied with the status quo. That's right. You know, many people are satisfied with the status quo. You know, we get up on Sunday. You know, we get dressed into our fancy clothes. We go down to the house of worship. You know, we have a good time with the praise team. And we have a good word. We visit a little bit with our friends. And we go home. And then we come back next Sunday. It's called Sunday Medicine. You know, and then, you know, but we are satisfied. I look around, majority of us, that's exactly how we are. We're just satisfied with the status quo. But one man, he was fired up on the inside. This Gideon man, he wasn't satisfied at all. He said, well, you know, we heard stories of our fathers and these things that the Lord did, but we've not seen any of those things. And if you say the Lord be with us and show us these things again. And the angel of the Lord said, wow, I like that fire. I can use that. You know, so people need to be fired up, you know, and that's what a convocation does. It lights a fire underneath you, you know, lights a fire. Jesus said, I'm come to send fire on the earth, you know, and I'm straightened. I can't wait until it be ignited. Well, I'm going to be going into some Ignite series coming up soon, shortly. And we're going to, you know, all that preparation to light a fire underneath you. Now, when this fire is lit, fire must not go out. We got to do whatever it is. Remember, the Lord told us at the beginning when we started this daily room, Leviticus 6, 12 and 13, that fire must not go out. You know, it must be rekindled every day, he said. Bring wood upon it, let the priests, and they crank up the fire, and never let it, you know, die. Hallelujah. But what if the priest is cranking up the fire and not letting it die? What about you? What are you doing? Well, we are all priests. We all should be cranking up the fire in our lives. That's it. You know, don't leave it up to one person. You know, we are all kings and priests. We should all be cranking up the fire. And then we take this fire, we go out among the people, and we do great signs and wonders, and give witness to the kingdom of God. That's right. Now, this generation must see a witness by the power of God. And it's going to start with you. In your community, in your local church, in your workplace, you know, out among the people, you know, wherever you are, out in the marketplace, whatever and wherever you are, we're going to demonstrate. That's right. You got to demonstrate, but you can't give what you don't have. So that's why we're preparing ourselves, you know, to receive of the Lord and cleanse the pipe and the hose so that there is no kinks. And then that, you know, power can flow freely through us. And it's going to be a great multitude of fish. You know, believe it, ladies and gentlemen. Ezekiel chapter 47, he saw it. There was a great multitude, the river, my goodness. When he finally got moving, gathered a great multitude of fish. Now, well, the river has been moving for some time, they're gathering all kinds of fish. You know, good, bad, and ugly. It's all part of it. But God's going to bring another quicker and shorter move. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's power. The anointing of God and the word of God will be so strong. You know, if you are lukewarm, it will scorch your knees. People will not be able to stand the strong anointing that the Lord is bringing now. I mean, people don't like it. The Bible says in the last days, they have itching ears and stuff like that. They don't want to hear, you know, anything this strong. You know, they just want milk and they want, you know, stuff like that. Well, this is going to be strong meat. But at the same time, it's packaged with the love of God. It's packaged with compassion. It's packaged with love to one another. I mean, it's just a, you know, it's a complete package. You know, it's not the kind of, you know, movie of God that cares nothing for the person next to you. Well, that's not going to work. I did that in the 80s and so on. You know, so now the Lord is doing something anew. Glory to God. So in the next upcoming days, we're going to be talking about, you know, getting into position. And we're going to be talking about, you know, the things that God is doing and wanting to do. We're going to be talking about a lot of these things. So be here every day, you know, as the Lord calls for this room. I want to thank God for this room as being, since we started, you know, a daily room, as you know it. And God has been helping us in the last few days, especially, you know, we were in this convocation and we were there for 7 straight days. Glory to God. And let me read, Holy Spirit just saying, read it. I was trying to just move along and not read it, but read it. Okay, so let me read it. Haggai chapter 2, I'm just going to read it. Let me take it as a scripture reading. In the 7th month, the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Well, let me ask the people in the house today. I know some of you saw this house in its former glory. Well, how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes now in comparison of it as nothing? It's talking about a physical house then. I'm not talking about a physical house, you know. Yet, now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be ye strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of well. We got to work. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of work to do. And part of the work is convocation, coming in, doing this thing, bringing ourselves into position. Well, then there is more work. Go outside, do more, you know, and so forth. Then come back and go do some more, you know, and all of that. And the Lord said, you know, one time the Lord gave them a parable. And he said, look, do you suppose that a man who has a servant, you know, after the servant comes in from the field and does what he was sent to do, he would now tell him, go and sit down and enjoy? You know, no. Let me read it to you in Luke chapter 17. It doesn't work like that at all. This is Luke chapter 17 and verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Do you do that? No. Will he not rather say to him, make ready where I may sup and gird thyself and serve me? Till I have eaten and drinking, then afterward you shall eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I don't think so, the Lord said. So likewise ye, you know, the Lord is always amazing anytime I read these gospels. The way Jesus used to just bring things out, use natural language. He didn't use any deep, you know, speak thunders or lightnings and all these things. Just, you know, simple things that people can relate to, but very deep, you know. And then he said, look, so likewise ye, when you have done all those things, when you have done consecration, when you have done convocation, when you have preached the gospel, when you have witnessed the souls, when you have done whatever, you know, when you come back in, he's going to send you out to go do some more. There's no resting on your oars, ladies and gentlemen. And each day we are going to say to the Holy Spirit, we are unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do. We're not going to take credit for anything. You know, nothing. You know, because when we finish that, he will send you on something else. It's not going to tell you, come and sit down here and do. No. When you finish one thing, he'll send you on another thing. You finish one thing, he'll send you another thing. That's why we are his servants. But with a price. People don't like to hear that. But that's who we are. We've talked about slavery and all of these things to yokes of the devil. Now we're now talking about being yoked to the Lord. You know, it's one way or the other. Everybody must be yoked to something. You cannot be unyoked. You are either yoked to the things of the world that's distracting you from the kingdom, or you are yoked unto the Lord. You know, and Paul said, you true yoke feller, you know, who have labored with me, we're yoked unto the Lord. Jesus said, look, my yoke, glory to God, is easy, and my burden is light. But there is a yoke. And it's easy because the Holy Spirit makes it work. But you are yoked. You cannot escape. You know, so if you put your hands in the plow, can't look back. There is no looking back, folks. So we are going forward. Well, that's a kind of a roundabout review of the last few days, you know, without me going into specifics. But now we are poised, you know, at the edge of infinite possibilities. That's right. You're standing right there. And God is fixing to unleash something. Well, you know, he's looking for those who are the tried and the chosen vessels. Well, he has chosen us already. You know, are we going to be faithful? And some of you have gone through some things, you know, all the things you got, maybe some of the things you went through led you to this room. Maybe not. Maybe you're going to go through more things. I don't know. But whichever way, you know, you've lived every moment of your lives to be here right now. You know, I mean, if you're a believer on a quest, that is. And if you're not a believer on such a quest, we invite you in. We invite you in. Don't be an onlooker. You know, come on in and taste and see that the Lord is good. But for those that have trusted in the grace and mercy of the Lord, you are looking daily still for the mercy of our Lord unto eternal life. Don't forget it. It's his mercy that's going to get you there. You will never make it on your own. Hallelujah. And we must trust him daily for that mercy. But here's the confidence that we have. He that started his good work in us, he will also bring it to pass. Remember, over the last few weeks, I've been trying to hammer this down in people's head that look, God doesn't start anything until first he finishes that thing. That's exactly right. So, you know, that may sound kind of counterintuitive and backwards for us, but now we got. First, he finishes the thing and then he starts it. That's how it works. Just think of it as a circle. You know, for us, you know, we're struggling with starting something. We're always struggling with starting and getting going. God, he finished it first before he even started. That's the way he works. The lamb was slain before the world began. It's already done. You know, that's how he does it. So what is ahead of us, God's already done it. And we are so blessed and so thrilled to be here. What an amazing time to be living in the presence of God. We have many promises of God to share with you as we go along in this time, you know, that will keep us going and will empower us for this great work, you know. And those of you who have, you know, done and been doing some of this work, well, let not your hands slack. You know, roll off your sleeves. There's more to do. Hallelujah. Master hasn't come you to that. Master hasn't, you know, told you to come in and sit down and eat yet. That's coming. But right now, you'll do some more stuff. And when you do that more stuff and come, he'll give you some more stuff to do. There's always more stuff. Then someday, hallelujah, he will say, now, calm down, come over, come up here, sit down and eat. Aha. You know, but we're not there yet. Right now, we got to keep doing. And every day as we do, remember, we are unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty. And sometimes, look, I've been even praying during this convocation week. I haven't even done what was my duty. I know the capacity, you know, that I could do, you know, by the grace of God, but I haven't done it, you know. So we've all fallen short somehow. You know, so let alone say that we've done a great thing. Now, what great thing? The Lord is the one that's the great one. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a review. Now we're going to take testimonies.